Today's reading is Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the word of the Lord.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your word. And we pray that even as you send your word out now, would you send it to give us life? And would you send it to gather us to the Lord Jesus? In Jesus' name, amen. What we're thinking about tonight, politicians' promise, demonstrators' demand. Many people at the moment fear losing. Many on Wednesday at the Pavilion der Hoffnung through the Evangelical Alliance gathered to celebrate. We're talking about peace. And everyone wants peace. And yet the Lord Jesus says in the passage we just heard read, don't think I have come to bring peace. Now, nobody really sends Christmas cards anymore. I suppose you do it on phones and texts and Instagram and so on. But just imagine we lived in a day when people did send Christmas cards and you sent a Christmas card with that on it to everyone in your address book. What would the response be like? Whether you'd call yourself a Christian or not tonight, I suspect that at some level what Jesus says here disturbs, troubles you, unsettles. It raises questions. Do I really want to submit my life to the Jesus who said he didn't come to bring peace? Do I really want to suffer for proclaiming a Jesus who said he didn't come to bring peace? Now, whenever in the Bible we come to something that Jesus says that we don't understand or like, that puts us at a crossroads. And what matters most is where we then take our next step, in which direction. Who will I trust more, myself or Jesus? And to answer that question, I guess I need to take a long, hard look at myself in the mirror and at Jesus on the cross and ask who of the two of us is more trustworthy and who is more good. And actually, when I look at myself in the mirror and when I look at Jesus and what he did for me at the cross, that is not a hard question. That is at kindergarten level. I, by nature, am not a good person. I am so not good a person that actually I deserve God's anger against my sin. Jesus is so good that he came to earth to die for us and rescue us from God's anger against our sin and from our sin itself. He is so good that God accepts him as our Saviour. And because Jesus is good, all the words he says are good. And therefore, when I come to something that I don't understand or don't like, I should listen to what Jesus says and ask him to help me understand it until I not just understand it, but like it. With that in mind, let's listen to Jesus as he says, "Don't think I've come to bring peace." Here in Matthew 10, where we are tonight, Jesus is preaching to his first disciples on mission. We saw last week that Jesus has sent his disciples out with his word. All around them are wolves, but he sends them out saying, "Have no worries." And as Jesus finishes his sermon, he teaches his disciples, first of all, that Jesus divides the world. And if you only remember four words from tonight, those are probably the four to remember. Jesus divides the world. Verses 34 to 36. Lots of things divide us at the moment in society. There's obviously politics, there's age, education, finances, physical ability, sex, money, football team, nationality, whether you find my jokes funny or whether you have no humour. Well done. These divisions, though, they are all surface level. Jesus says that the true division, the division that divides the world in two, is whether you receive his word or refuse his word. Just look at verse 34. Jesus says, "Don't think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus doesn't mean a sword of steel. Jesus explains what he means in verse 35. "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now, family life can be very painful for some. And yet, normally, family relationships are among the things we most treasure, we most value here on earth. And Jesus knows this. And he doesn't say what he says to be cruel. He's using families to illustrate the division he brings, because what he says cuts through every type of relationship. So imagine that you got together in a room, it could be this room or any other room, imagine you got together in a room, everyone you've seen this week, or everyone you've seen this month, and you tell them that Jesus is king and that he is bringing the kingdom of heaven, that God is, through Jesus, going to make this world right, and that everyone everywhere needs to believe in Jesus, needs to repent. In that group of people, some will receive Jesus' word, some will refuse Jesus' word. And those who refuse it will start to turn against those who receive it. Verse 36, that will happen even if they're in the same household, even if they're in the same family. And we might think, well, this is obviously a bit of a PR disaster. If only Jesus was a bit more tactful, if only he had hired a consultant to improve how he packaged his message, he could have avoided all of this division. Isn't it sad? Jesus isn't very good at winning hearts and minds. And yet, if I'm tempted to think that, I'm not actually listening to what Jesus says. Look again with me at verses 34 to 35. Do you see what Jesus repeats? "Don't think I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace. I have come to set a man against his father and his son against the father," and so on. Jesus saying division is not an unfortunate accident. He's saying he came to divide. Jesus' first disciples, the first people who heard this, will have found that shocking as well. They'll have found it shocking because in the Old Testament, the bit of scripture they already knew, God promises to send his king to the world and promises that when that king comes, he'll bring peace. So just for example, here's the prophet Micah in the Old Testament, in Micah 5, saying that God's king, when he comes, will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He shall be their peace. When God's king comes, he'll bring peace. Now Jesus has come, he says he is God's king, and he says, I've not come to bring peace. Jesus, have you forgotten what your father promised? I think the answer to what's going on comes from the book of Micah. In verse 35, here in Matthew 10, Jesus quotes from from Micah 7, verse 6. In Micah 7, Israel is under God's judgment because they've turned away from God and they've turned against each other. Daughter against mother, son against father. And in that situation where Israel's under God's judgment because they've turned away from him and turned against each other, Micah says two things. He says, verse 5, just before the bit Jesus quotes, don't trust your neighbours or your friends. And actually that's exactly what Jesus taught his disciples. Matthew 10, verse 17, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. Beware, don't trust your neighbours or your friends. And then in the verse just after the bit Jesus quotes, Micah 7, verse 7, Micah says, I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. In other words, when I see the sign of judgment, when I see people dividing against Jesus, I'm to do two things. I'm to watch out for betrayal, and I'm to wait for the king and his salvation. And the salvation in Micah 7 is God overcoming division to gather his people from every nation and make them into his flock and his inheritance and forgive them their sins and pardon their transgressions and throw everything evil they've ever done into the sea. And it's the same salvation that Jesus has been bringing in Matthew 8 to 10. As Jesus gathers people from Israel and from east and west to himself, makes them one flock, part of his one kingdom, and promises them forgiveness of sins. Here's what Jesus is saying. When you see brother and father, mum and daughter, daughter-in-law and mum-in-law, divided against each other because of Jesus, that is a sign of judgment. And the judgment tells you, wait for the coming salvation. Wait for the coming salvation. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus says, I have come to set the world against each other. I have come to divide the world. And as he speaks, he separates the world into those who will refuse his word and those who will receive his word. What Jesus says here about families turning against each other is the experience of many at LEC in some degree or measure. There are church members who, because they belong to Jesus, now have less connection to their family. As we tell people this Christmas that Jesus is king and that his kingdom is coming, some people will turn against us. They'll refuse Jesus' word. Others will receive it. And when they then start living for the king and telling other people about him, they will find some turning against them, even from their own family, disinheriting them, disowning them. In some cultures in the world today, when somebody becomes a Christian, the parents hold a funeral for the child because in their eyes, that son or daughter who now believes in Jesus is dead to them. When that happens, when people divide, when families turn against each other, it does not mean Jesus' word has failed. It is very painful, but it does not mean Jesus has failed. It's not a mistake, it's part of Jesus' mission. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And yet, even as Jesus says that, notice that he stands with arms wide open, calling out for anyone and everyone to come to him. If you just skim through the verses 37 to 42, do you see that word repeated? Whoever. 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 Whoever you are, you can receive me, Jesus says. That's still true today. That's true tonight. It's wonderfully true. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've come from, whoever you are, Jesus is speaking to you. Whoever you are, Jesus can forgive you all your sin. Whoever you are, Jesus can give you a place in his kingdom. Whoever you are, you can receive Jesus. Whoever you are, you can tell Jesus, please would you be my king. Whoever. Jesus is teaching his disciples about their mission. Jesus has sent them to proclaim him as the King of heaven. Proclaiming Jesus as King puts people at the crossroads. Which direction will you go next? Will you receive Jesus? Will you refuse Jesus? And Jesus then, in the verses that follow, from 37 onwards, he frames this choice in terms of losing life or finding life. Do you want to find life now and lose it later? Whoever wants that gets that. Or do you want to lose life now and find it later? Whoever wants that will get that. So here's the first option, and this is our second heading, if you're taking notes. Find life now, lose it later. Verses 37 to 39. Find life now, lose it later. I usually prefer, if I'm honest, finding now, losing later. We live in the here and now, and I like finding things now, because I think, well, if I lose it later on, that's future Larry's problem, not present Larry's problem. And maybe future Larry will be cleverer than present Larry, and he'll find a way not to lose it. When we hear Jesus speaking of dividing families, of losing family relations now, of course we think, well, I'd actually quite like to keep my family intact now, thank you. Maybe I won't lose them later. Maybe I'm cleverer than Jesus. Maybe Jesus is wrong. Maybe I can have my cake and eat it. And therefore Jesus, in his kindness, tells us very, very clearly that it is possible to have your life now, but that you won't be able to keep it, and that it is better to lose it now than later. So if you have a look at verse 37, it is possible not to take up your cross. It is possible, I think in the context, this means it's possible to not lose your family. You can stay together, remain undivided, and play happy families this Christmas. You cannot take the cross. You can avoid that. You can, verse 39, find your life now. And all you have to do is just not listen to Jesus. Refuse Jesus. That's what being not worthy means, that Jesus talks about in verse 37 and 38. Being not worthy has nothing to do with being good or bad. We saw last week from verses 11 to 14 that being unworthy of Jesus just means refusing his word. And being worthy of Jesus just means listening to him and receiving his word. Verse 37. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God gives us our parents and our families. It is right to love them, but it is wrong to love them more than God. It is wrong to love them more than the King Jesus said, that Jesus is. Jesus is telling us that he is more valuable than the family members that are most dear to us. He is not saying love your family less. He is saying love me more. And yet you won't love Jesus more if you don't listen to him and receive his word as he says that he is the King of heaven. So Jesus says you can have your life now if you want. You can have happy families now, but it won't last. This life is not forever. Just look at verse 39 again. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And if you've got your own Bible and not one of the church Bibles, you might just want to underline the word will. It's not maybe. It's not could. It's will lose it. There are no maybes there in verse 39 because God has made Jesus king. And because God has made Jesus king, when it comes to the final day of this world, when it comes to the day of judgment, you and I will not choose what happens to us, whether we find or whether we lose. On that day, Jesus will choose, because he is king, whether we lose everything in eternal death or find everything in eternal life. Whoever finds his life will lose it. This flies just absolutely in the face of everything our world is desperate to sell us. I've noticed this week that Black Friday has once again not just become a day, but a week. And to the really, really capitalistic, it has become even weeks. And I must confess, I've been finding this a real challenge because I really, really want to get myself an iPad. And I probably will at some point soon. But I've been really struggling because my heart has been telling me, if you have that, your life will be complete. You can have your life. I know it's really sad, isn't it? But that's the life you're falling for. If you have this bit of wonderful plastic and metal and glass, then your life will be complete. You can find your life now. Now, that's what I've been struggling with, but I'm sure you've seen adverts this week, and there's just been that little itch in you that says, if I get that, then I can have life. Lies! Lies, dear friends. The next time you see an advert and you feel that little itch thinking, if I have that, then I've got life now. Tell yourself, Jesus promises me, if I go all in on life now, I will lose the lot. Verse 39, whoever finds his life now will lose it. And so I think Jesus is saying that we've got to do a bit of maths. I've got to ask myself, is now worth forever? And I'm rubbish at maths, but even I can figure out that now is not as big as forever. And therefore I'd be an idiot to refuse Jesus now, only to hold on to something that he has promised I will lose forever. There's life now, there's life forever. Which one of those two do you think is your spare? You can't keep both. One of them you've got to lose. Which one do you want to lose? The life now or the life forever? Find life now. Lose it then, later. So that's the warning. After the warning comes the promise. And that's our last heading. Lose life now, find it later. Verses 39 to 42. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his or her life for my sake will find it. And Jesus explains his promise with two examples. Firstly, there's the example of family, and that's there in verse 40. Whoever receives you, that's the apostles Jesus is speaking to, receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. We saw last week in verse 14 that receiving the apostles means receiving the words they speak, the message they bring. And so Jesus is saying that whoever receives the apostles' word receives him. How does that work? Well, it works because Jesus is fully present in the words he said to the apostles. They kept the words Jesus said to them. And as they pass those words on to others, Jesus is still fully present in them. So hear and receive Jesus' word, and you receive Jesus. And you receive him as your brother. And we know that we receive him as our brother because Jesus says, whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And who is it who sent Jesus? It is God the Father. So receive the apostles' word and you receive Jesus as your brother and you receive God as your father. You become, verse 42, one of the Father's little ones, one of his darling children. It's an amazing picture to be called one of the Father's little ones. It implies the Father's protection and care. That the God who says his children are more valuable to him than many sparrows looks at you and calls you my little one and says to you, I've numbered all the hairs of your head. I've forgiven all the guilt of your sins. I've rescued you from death. I've freed you from Satan. I've put you in my kingdom and I have adopted you into my family through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And therefore, Jesus is saying that if you lose your life now, which in the context of what he's just said means losing family, if you lose your family now, for my sake, Jesus says, I will be your brother forever. Lose your parents now, God the Father says, I will be your father forever. I will be to you what I am to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not just promising that God gives us a better family than the one we lose. He is promising that God will be to us himself. He will be to us a better family than the one we lose. First example, family. Second example, serving Jesus' family. Verses 40 to 42 again. Receiving a prophet, 41 to 42. Receiving a prophet means identifying yourself with the prophet's message. And from the context of Matthew 10 and everything that Jesus has said in this sermon on mission, that means sharing in the shame and the persecution that Jesus' disciples suffer from family, from religious officials, from governments. It means taking up your cross and losing your life as you follow Jesus. And yet Jesus says, whoever receives someone who speaks God's word, a prophet, anyone who receives someone who lives by God's word, a righteous person, and who does that just because they belong to Jesus, they will receive a great reward, a prophet's reward, a righteous person's reward. Just look down at verse 42. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. What reward might Jesus be thinking of? What does the King of Heaven give for cups of water given to Christians by other Christians simply because they're Christians? Well, do keep a finger in Matthew 10 and just turn with me to Matthew 25. And to page 1002. Page 1002, Matthew 25. Jesus is talking about the day when he puts the world right. And look at what he promises, verse 34, to those who lose their lives now. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Amazing, isn't it? Give a Christian some water just because he or she is a Christian, and Jesus gives you a kingdom. That's the going rate of rewards. One cup gets one kingdom. Life with God forever. Do you see how generous God is? That he sees what we do and he doesn't weigh out his kindness to us. Well, you gave quite a lot and lost your life, so here's a crumb for you. No, he gives his eternal kingdom to little believers who give cups of water. He gives his kingdom to anyone who receives Jesus' word and submits to Jesus and then sees Jesus' people in need and wants to help them just because they're Jesus' people. A cup for a kingdom. And it's not just about cups of water, as if cookies didn't count, or cash, or even coffee. Jesus is saying he'll reward anything. Everything that is done by Christians to other Christians because they're Christians. He will leave no good work unrewarded. And in the context of losing and finding, what he's saying to you and me is there is no way that you can lose more for his sake than he will give you. There is no way you can lose more for his sake than he will give you when he comes as king. So serve Jesus' family now, receive a prophet or a righteous person, share in the cross and persecution, and then on the day of judgment, you will share in the family honour, the family reward, the family crown of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there in verse 42, Jesus guarantees this. Truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. How can Jesus say that? Did you count how many cups of water you gave other Christians last year? Well, Jesus did. But actually, for Jesus to promise what he promises here in verse 42, he has to do more than counting, doesn't he? He has to do more than counting. He has to be able to keep you so that you can receive the reward. So that when families turn against us, when wolves hunt you and men drag you before courts and Satan just throws everything at you and you're hated by all for Jesus' name's sake, Jesus keeps you. Not from all of that, but in all of that, through all of that, and keeps you until the day when he comes again and he hands out the rewards of his grace. Jesus is such a faithful brother, he does not lose any of his Father's little ones. He laid down his life, he suffered death and the wrath of God so that he can keep us, so that we can lose our lives now and share in his reward then. By no means will you lose your reward. So what have we seen? We've seen Jesus has come to divide the world. That is, two options are left to us. You find now and lose later, or you lose now and find later. Which way are you going? And everything depends on Jesus' word. Whoever refuses Jesus' word finds life now but loses it later. Whoever receives Jesus' word will lose their life now but find it later. Jesus is teaching his disciples this because many people will reject what they say. He's just about to send them out on mission. Many people reject what they say. When that happens, they mustn't think they've got the message wrong. They mustn't change what they say. They mustn't give back. They must keep speaking what Jesus has said. And he sends his disciples on their mission by teaching them about his mission. Don't think I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to set a man against his father. He's come to divide the world, and as his disciples proclaim the king, his words continue his work. And it's the same today. Anytime any Christian tells other people that Jesus is Lord, that he is king, it is like a little taste of judgment day. Because Jesus' words divide those who hear into those who refuse what he says and those who receive what he says. Every time a Christian tells people that Jesus is the king and that we must believe in him, that puts people at the crossroads. Which step will they take next? Refuse or receive? And when that happens, when the world is divided by Jesus, that doesn't mean we've failed. That doesn't mean his word has failed. Just the opposite. It means that his word works. Because he is gathering those who will receive him and scattering those who refuse them. And as his word does that, we are to keep on speaking. Let's pray. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Heavenly Father, help us to be so convinced of the life that is to come in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that we happily lose this life and happily speak of Jesus the King no matter what division comes and who is set against us, because we trust that his word works and that he will bring his salvation to those who receive him. Strengthen us, we pray, so that we might speak and tell many of the King whom you have sent to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.